All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like for you to turn in the New Testament to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to look at a couple of verses today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to continue on in this new study that we're doing, and I've entitled the study Created for Good Works. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it describes, Paul describes you and I as his workmanship or masterpiece. I used the word last week, a phrase last week, that you are a work of art, God's work of art. He specifically created you to be who you are so that you could do good works for him. And so we talked about that last week. And so as I was thinking about where do I go with this next, I realized that while you may hear that you are a work of art and that you were created to do good works that he has already planned out for you beforehand, which is what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, you might look at that and say, well, there's just no way. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I was talking to somebody this week about the possibility of maybe leading a Bible study, and that person said to me that they don't have the knowledge or the understanding yet at this point. And so that's typically where we're at. We give responses like, I don't know that I can do that. I don't know that I have what it takes. I don't know that I am able to do what God's calling me to do. So we don't even attempt it. We don't even think that that's a possibility that we could do something for him, because we look at ourselves, we look at our educational backgrounds, we look at our physical abilities, we look at our social status, our socioeconomic status, and we think in terms of, there's just no way God can use me. And we think in terms of our failures too, right? God always mentions our failures, right? Well, what I want you to see today is that when God tells you to do something, there's a couple of truths that come out that you and I need to grasp. Number one, you can't do it on your own. Okay, so I don't need to spend a lot of time there. I think everybody should recognize that when God tells you to do something, first of all, you can't do it on your own. So you need him to do it. So that brings up the second point, which is what I want to focus on today, is that he equips you to do it. He gives you what you need to do what he's telling you to do, because he's the one who's doing it through you. Do you understand that? That's something you and I need to grasp. He's the one who's doing it through you. God asks you to do things because he wants to do it through you, because you become his hands. You become his feet. You become his mouth. He wants to do it through you. So that's what we're going to focus on today. I want to focus on the reality that you are equipped for service. Now, where do we go to find out that truth? Well, we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And I want you to listen to what he says, and then what we're going to do is we're going to look specifically at what it says and what that means for you and I, okay? So let's take a look, verse 3 and 4. Here's what he writes. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Now, these, folks, are two very important verses. They're going to talk about what God has done for you. Because remember, okay, here's what I want you to see. Remember, when we go back to Ephesians, like let me turn to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, here's what he writes. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he created you. He brought you to salvation because he wants to accomplish something in your life, through your life, that he prepared beforehand. Now again, like I said, we look at that though and say, oh my goodness, how are we able to do it? Well, you can't do it on your own. He's got to be the one to do it through you. So here's what he's done. He's given you divine empowerment and divine promises. These verses talk about that empowerment and what that means and the promises that we have. So let's take a look at it. First, let's look at the divine empowerment. We see it in verse 3. Verse 3, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. All right, so four things I'm going to bring out of here. If we take this and break it down into four sections, here's what I want you to see. First of all, when the Holy Spirit entered your life, he empowered you. What do you mean when the Holy Spirit entered my life? Folks, the instant you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the scripture very much declares to you that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 makes that very clear. The Spirit of God entered into your life. He transformed you. And at that moment, he empowered you. In fact, he's the source of that power because the Holy Spirit, what does he do? When he enters into your life, he's there with you, period. So think about that for a moment. If we just think in terms of doing what he tells us to do, doing what it is that he has planned for us to do, responding to his guidance, which, by the way, is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He's asking you to do what he's empowering you to do, because he's there with you. You're not doing this alone. See, this is what I find. I find a lot of believers think that when we talk about doing what God wants us to do, we're supposed to figure it out on our own. We're supposed to do it on our own. We're supposed to come up with the gray matter, and that's why we say, oh, no goodness, I can't do this. Or we think in terms of, wow, there's no way I can do it. I don't have the ability to do that. Listen, if he's telling you to do something, you have the ability to do it. How many times have we talked ourselves out of talking to somebody? What do you mean? When the Spirit is telling us, why don't you talk to that person? Why don't you engage with that person? Well, I don't want to talk to them because they might ask me a question, and I'm not George. I don't know how to answer that question. Yeah, but if the Spirit's telling you to do it, he's the one who's going to help you, right? Isn't the scripture say that he will give you the words? He will lead you into understanding? See, when the Holy Spirit entered into your life, see, folks, listen to me. The Spirit doesn't just enter into your life to make sure you get to heaven. The Spirit enters into your life for you to be of use to him now, because what he wants us to do are things that God has prepared for us to do, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you. Here's the second thing I want you to see out of this verse, okay? He has given you everything you need to live your life for him. If you have your own Bibles, you may want to underline it. Look at what it says. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His Spirit has given you everything you need to have for this life. For godliness, that's becoming like him. He's given you everything you need. He's given you the strength to live your life. Well, you say, well, George, I understand that, but man, it feels like sometimes I just don't have enough. I don't have enough funds. I don't have enough ability. I don't have enough brain power. You're looking at it completely wrong. You're looking at it completely wrong. You need to look at it in terms of the one who's empowering you to do it. And he will provide. So let me give you an example for us as a church, okay? You know, I go downstairs and I look at the basement and I'm just blown away. Every time I walk down there, I'm like, God, look at what you did. This is just amazing to me. But then my mind goes back. That project's been going on for 3 years or more, okay? Well, we've had some things pop up before we could complete that project. And one of them was we had to replace the roof. Got a letter from the insurance company saying to us, well, it's been 30 years. Okay, yeah, it has been 30 years, so we need to replace that roof. That was $20,000, folks. Okay? And then when the boiler inspector comes, he looks across the room at our electrical box, and it's like, well, that's from the 1950s. You're not supposed to have that anymore. So that was another five, getting boxes replaced around here. $25,000 in one summer. But because we're doing what God wants us to do, I was blown away that he provided every dollar. Every dollar. And then for the money for us to do the basement, finish it. And so when I walk down there and I look around, and yeah, the floor's not done, but we're trusting him for that. And yes, there are other things that are coming up that we got to do. I just am looking at God and saying, okay, Lord, you are the one who's telling us what we need to do. We're trusting in you. God gives you what you need. This is what the passage is saying. So don't sit there and say, well, you know, I want to be used of him. We say those kind of things. I want to be used of God. I just don't know how. Do what he's telling you to do. Well, you know, he told me that I don't have it. Well, what do you mean you don't have it? He's the one who does it through you, and he gives you everything you need for life and godliness. That is walking with him. In fact, it goes on and tells us something else here. I want you to notice the third thing. How do we access that power? How do we access what he has for us? He tells you right in the passage how it's available to you. Here it is. Look at what he says. Verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Notice what it says. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Through the knowledge. What do you mean the knowledge? Through knowing facts? No. The word knowledge there is talking about an experiential knowledge. It's talking about knowledge that you gain because you interact with him. That's talking about the relationship. So here's the point I want you to see. You can access that power to live through your relationship with him. Through your relationship with him. Listen to me. I'm going to explain something. So, you know, we're really big around here about reading your Bible. Okay? So we're really big. So like this week, if you're using the YouVersion Bible app, the plan that we're going through together as a church is talking with God. Okay? If you're using a Bible reading guide, use the Bible reading guide. If you use the daily bread and the scripture reading, get in your word. We're really big about prayer, and so we have a prayer focus. So the prayer focus this week is missions, praying for our missionaries and so forth. Why do we spend so much time talking about prayer and Bible? Prayer and Bible. Because those are the means by which you connect with God. It's trying to stir you on to spend time with him so that you're not just praying about missions, but you're praying about what's going on in your life and your need for him. And then when you're reading God's word, something speaks to you And you're like, okay, Lord. So like yesterday, we were at a birthday party for one of our new additions in our clan, one of our nephews, and I had a moment there to myself, and so I'm reading my Bible reading plan, and something stuck out to me, and it's like God is speaking to me through the word that I'm reading, and I'm like, yeah, Lord, you're right, you're right. And so like I'm still processing what he showed me the day before in his word, because he's speaking to me. And he's interacting with me. Now, it's through that interaction, it's through that relationship that he empowers you. You have divine power. You have access to it. But how do we access it? By getting with him. But for most of us, including myself, it's not a priority. Sometimes, right? It's not a priority to take some time to talk with him. It's not a priority. So like today, in the Bible reading for today as a church, it's going to talk about a rig. Do you have a rig moment? What do you mean a rig? An R-I-G is what the author was talking about. A rest in God moment, where you're not just talking to him about stuff, you're just spending time listening, resting in him. This is the reality. Maybe that's the other plan I'm doing, but it's a rig moment. Here, the point is to spend time with him, okay? Here's the fourth one. God has empowered you because he called you to his glory and excellence. Look at what it says here. I was really intrigued, okay? Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. I find a lot of us don't, what's the number one reason why we don't want to do something for the Lord? Typically, it's because of our failures. Because that we messed up and we don't think we can be used by God again, period, okay? Typically, that's what it is. But when I read this passage, something stuck out to me. So let me read you the exact phrase and let me help you to grasp something, okay? The exact phrase here is he called us to his own glory and excellence. Whose excellence? God's excellence. We have this thought that God calls us to find excellence in ourselves. No, you're not going to. Because none of you are excellent in yourself. Do you understand that? And if we looked at our own excellence, we would immediately say, there's no way I can serve him. No way I can serve you. But he's not calling me to my excellence because I'm not going to be excellent. He's calling me to his glory and his excellence. He's calling me to what he is wanting me to do. He's calling me to be excellent in him. Remember, Ephesians 2, we are his workmanship, created in him for good works. He's calling you to his excellence. Now that, my friends, changes things. It's moving it away from me looking at myself and begin looking at the God who called me to something better. And it's only through his relationship that I understand that. Only through his relationship. Now, it isn't just power he gave us. It's promises. What do you mean promises? Well, let's take a look. Verse 4. I'll read again verse 4, and we're going to find four things here, okay? By which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. All right, first thing I want you to notice here, through this calling, he bestowed on you very precious promises. Through this calling, what calling? The calling that he gave you to salvation. And through that calling, he gave you precious promises. Now, what's he talking about precious promises here? Well, it's talking about promises that he's already told us before. So I want you to notice 1 Peter chapter 1. In his first letter, I want you to notice some of the promises he gives us in verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what has he got? To a living hope. He's called us. He saved us to a living hope. First promise, a living hope in Jesus. Here's, look, notice with me, verse 4. To an inheritance. That's the promise to us. You've been promised an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice that last part, you're being guarded. What a promise. That isn't all the promises he's talking about. Same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's the promise? The promise is he's coming back and you're going to experience grace when he comes back. You're going to be transformed. That's awesome. These are the precious promises he's given. Now, can you listen to these promises? Did any of those promises have anything to do with you? Was he saying in any of those promises, now, if you do the right thing, this is what I'll do for you. Isn't that what we do? Well, I remember that's what we used to bribe our kids with. Now, if you do this, I'll get you a cookie. This isn't a cookie. This is promises he's given out of love for you to do what he's calling you to do. Here's the second thing I want you to see. These were given to you to help you to become more like Jesus. This is what he's pulling us to. He's pulling you. This is what spiritual maturity is. Spiritual maturity isn't how much Bible knowledge you have, how many times you go to church, how much you give. I mean, maturity can be reflected in those things. Maturity is you becoming like who? Jesus in your attitudes and actions. This is what he's wanting to accomplish in your life. Especially, look there, verse 4. By which you are granted these to us, his precious and very great promises, so that you may become partakers of the divine nature, so that you become like Christ. Here's the third thing. And you need to realize this one. Man, what a promise. Here it is. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Through Christ, you have escaped the corruption that is in the world. You've escaped it. What do you mean we've escaped it? Look, so, okay. Are you happy with the way things are in our culture today? Are you? Crickets. Are you happy? No, all right. Does it bother you? Okay. One person is bothered. Are you bothered? Yeah, okay. What bothers me even more is watching people just kind of go along with it. Because I look at it and I'm thinking, man, am I the only one here? Thankfully I'm not, because there's some of you who are bothered too. Am I the only one here that's looking at this and saying this is all nuts and crazy? Like, where in the world are we coming to here? What is going on? Am I the only one here? And the realization is, yeah, for a lot of people, they just kind of go along with the flow. What's going on here? It's the corruption of the world and the world system that's dominated by Satan. Because he's the god of this world. And it's dominated not just by Satan, because he understands men's desires and their lusts. And the reality is, listen to me, he is saying, he's already told you, you've been powered, you've been given these promises. Now he is saying, you've escaped this corruption. Why? Because you became a believer. And who entered into your life and made you new? Jesus. The Spirit entered into your life. And you've escaped this. That's why you can look at it and be bothered. That's why you can look at it and say, oh my goodness, why is everybody else going there? I'm not there, and I'm not going to be there. Because you've been changed. You've been enlightened. That's the word we used in our study this morning in Hebrews about being enlightened. You've been given understanding, and you've been able to say no to it. You know, you have the ability to say no to it, right? Paul makes that very clear in Romans chapter 6. You have the ability because you have been made new in Christ. See, this is why you can do it for him. He's done everything for you. Which brings up the fourth point here. Notice, this corruption occurs due to humanity's sinful desires. It's because of man's sinful what they want to do. And you can be different. The problem is that for most of us, we don't think we can be different. We don't have any clue what God did for us. We just operate by our feelings and our emotions and our desires. And we wonder why we're always defeated. We wonder why we're never doing anything for him. Because we don't know any better. And he's trying to tell us, I've called you to something different. You are my work of art. I created you in Christ Jesus to accomplish these things that I wanted to accomplish through your life way before you were even born. What are we going to do with that? So here's my encouragement to you, okay? Here's my encouragement. Quit being self-absorbed. What? You heard me. Quit focusing on yourself. What do you mean focusing on myself, George? Quit looking at yourself and saying, I'll never be anything for Jesus. I'll never be able to serve him. I'm just here and hoping he'll bless me. I mean, quit being so pitiful. Well, you know, my one preacher told me, I don't care what some preacher told you years ago. What does God's word tell you? Do you understand? What does God's word tell you? By the way, what does that mean? Take everything some preacher tells you, including me, match it up to God's word. What does God's word tell you? And what he's telling you here in these verses is, I've empowered you. I've given you promises. You've escaped the corruption. I got something for you to do. And it isn't be a missionary, although maybe somebody might be called to be a missionary. It isn't be a preacher. Maybe God might call you to be a preacher. He does that. But he wants you to serve him where you are. So quit being self-absorbed. What does that mean then? Look beyond yourself. Look beyond yourself, first of all, to the God who wants to have a relationship with you, because it's through the relationship that he tells you what he wants you to do. And then number two, look to others around you. Look to others around you, because we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about who it is that we begin with. It's others around you. It's right. They're sitting right next to you. They sang the songs with you. And then it expands beyond that to people who are outside of here who need to know Jesus. Stop just thinking it's about you. He called you to something greater. And that is to be his representative in this world. That's what he's calling us to. And he's given us what we need. He has equipped you and I for service. To serve him. The question is, what are you going to do with that? I hope you would respond to it and let action come out of that. But it really is your decision to choose to be in your own world, ooh, it's me and I can't do anything, or to be with what God wants you to be, whatever that might be. Let me pray for you.